Father, we worship you and we adore you, Lord. Thank you for your blessings all over us. The glory of the Lord is upon every one of us. The Bible says, the glory of the Lord, upon the Mount of Zion, the glory of the Lord is upon everyone here this morning. The Bible says, the glory of the Lord is our real reward on this earth, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And men shall see this glory, the light of the Lord, and we always glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. Upon Mount Zion and upon all our assemblies is the glory of the Lord. And this glory is for a defense from all the attack of the wicked and the enemy. We are closed upon by the glory of the Lord. We are put on the Lord Jesus. Father, thank you. As we now get into your word this morning, Heavenly Father, this is a lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. And we shall never walk in darkness in this world, because Christ Jesus, the light of life, is in us. Blessed be the name, O Lord. Bless the word this morning and bless us as we read. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Well, every day is fulfilling prophecy. According to even prophecy itself, we are living in the most prophetical generation of all times, the time of the coming of the Lord. About a week or so ago, 27th of April, towards what they call the pink moon, right? It was a full moon, it was pink. It was pink globally, every part of the world, you know. Not only was it a full moon, it was a super moon. What's a super moon? A super moon is where the moon is at perigee. In astronomical terms, it means perigee means it's near the closest point in its orbit to the earth. So it is full moon and it has perigee. So, and it was pink and everything. Why are we talking about it? We don't know all about this thing. Time can explain it one way or the other and say something happened. But we say that there are the signs in the sun,
yes,
and in the moon and in the stars and the set of nations with perplexity. So to us, that's what it means to us. The signs the Lord Jesus spoke about. Praise the Lord. Now, not only that, so we see that in the weather patterns, in the atmospheric air, in the heavens and things like that, you know. And also, the Bible says, at the end of time, Daniel 12:4, knowledge shall be increased, and men shall run to and fro, right? Right now, for the past couple of weeks, they put this robot upon the Mars planet, right? And they are even taking it, they have a tiny helicopter in India that is going back and forth on Mars. We all know that. They have a robot that is moving around and so on, and they have a helicopter, tiny one, you know, and it's taking off and landing on Mars, you know? And of course, either today or tomorrow, another crew will be coming from the ISS, the International Space Station, right? They are going back and forth. All this, and they are preparing to go to Mars itself. All these things are nothing but Tower of Babel of the end time. Praise the Lord. I don't see them involving the Lord in all these things, and it's the power of Babel. Praise the Lord Jesus. So, we're living at that time. So, where? They can go to Mars and go to the moon, and they now do another one to go to the moon again, super by SpaceX Corporation and so on. What they think is a more technical, to go to moon and something like that. They're doing those things too, but it's telling us we are living at the end time. Everywhere we look, it's telling us about the coming of the Lord. You see, we want to be awake. You know, you say awake, eat that sleepeth. And Christ will give you light, amen. Let none of us sleep, amen. Praise the Lord. To the coming of the Lord. So this morning then they can be jumping to Mars and whatever. That is still that's in our solar system, right? But how about the things of God? This morning by the grace of God. Supernatural transportation and translation. Praise the Lord. Supernatural transportation and translation. Well, let me give you the transportation for supernatural transportation. Supernatural transportation is the phenomenon when someone is transported from one location to another on earth, just on earth only, not by himself or any man-made device, but by the power of God. That's what it is in the Bible and so on. Both New and Old Testament recorded incidents of this phenomenon called supernatural transportation. We are all familiar with them, but I'm going to go through them anyway. The world is doing their own, but God is doing his own too. Praise God. So Elijah, we know about him. There is a scriptural evidence that Elijah, the prophet, experienced supernatural transportation. That is, he had been supernaturally lifted up and taken to another location on earth. How do we know that? During the drought that he himself brought upon Israel because of their idol worshiping and things like that, you know, that was a massive drought. So their worship was in Israel, and they were, you know, they were worshiping idols, and there come Elijah and proclaimed the drought. You know the story. So and Ahab made a careful search throughout all the land looking for Elijah. You think it's the cause of the drought, right? So they are looking for Elijah all over the place. So not finding him anywhere in his own land, Ahab sent messengers to look for Elijah in the surrounding nations. And at that time, of course, the Lord had hidden Elijah, as we know, first of all in the brook Cherith. When the brook dried up, then he said, "Go now to Zarephath, for I have there's a widow woman that I set up there that will take care of you for the rest of the drought and so on." So anyway, so finally, Elijah was commanded. No, he was there. Now, go now to Elijah. Go back now and show yourself to Ahab. That is in the 1 Kings 18:8. So go as he was going. Then he met Obadiah, which is Elijah's servant, right? They were all looking for grass, they were all looking for oasis and water because it was so terrible a drought and so on. And of course, Elijah met Obadiah. "Go tell your Lord, behold, Elijah is here." What? Elijah is here? And I'm trying to say that the Bible didn't say explicitly, but we know from what you can see the Bible that Elijah experienced supernatural transportation in his time and so on. So now, Obadiah's response to Elijah's request was most unusual, and it was the key to the to let us know that Elijah had at one time or another experienced supernatural transportation. Here is what he said in 1 Kings 18:9, and he said, "What have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver my servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no land or nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to me to seek thee." And when they said, he is not here, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, "Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here." Verse 12, so I'm going. "And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee, whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find it, he shall slay me. But I, the servant, fear the Lord for my youth." Well, for that statement alone, what a most extraordinary answer on the part of Obadiah. What could possibly have put such a thing, you know, in his mind that he would say such a thing about Elijah? The statement seems puzzling, isn't it? Indeed, unless we assume one thing, that Elijah actually experienced this previously and the people knew about it. So they can talk about people go to the moon. Why can't they talk about what happened in the Bible? Isn't it? Praise the Lord. That's our sound. Bless God. Nobody hears about all these things, about the Bible and about biblical experiences, but they can talk about the moon and all this kind of a thing. So this is the real genuine article. Praise the Lord Jesus, the mighty hand of God. Anyway, the scriptures do not give us the details of this event, but it is not difficult to imagine the circumstances. Perhaps we know because even as soon, I mean, Jezebel was after Elijah. "The God do unto me and more also," he told Elijah, "if I don't bring down your head easily and so on." Perhaps they have sent his call. To go and get Elijah and they put him into custody. And maybe because of that, God whisked away his prophet. We don't know the circumstances and so on. But from what you can see here, definitely Elijah did experience supernatural transportation. Well, not even only that. And there's another witness to that same event that you might have had this experience. The sons of the prophets, after Elijah was transmitted, right? The sons of the prophets, now, they told Elisha Of course, Elisha was the one that poured water on the hand of Elijah, right? He was the successor, right? So they went to Elisha. Oh, that is in 2 Kings about 2:16 and so on. So this also must be the explanation of. So we are, let's go look for him. Let's get a search party to look for Elijah. And that is in 2 Kings 2:16. I want to read that very quickly. And the sons of the prophets said unto him, meaning to Elisha, behold now, there be with thee the servant 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master, lest peradventure, look at that, peradventure the spirit of the Lord has taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. The question is, why would the sons of the prophet say that? Obadiah said the same thing. Sons of the prophet said the same thing. So the reasoning of the sons of the prophet being that if such a thing had happened before, might it not happen again? So at the matter of two or three witnesses, Obadiah said the same thing. So the prophet said the same thing. So it must have been that Elijah experienced this supernatural transportation before he left this world. Now, even the Lord himself, the Lord Jesus himself, on certain occasions, the Bible implicitly shows us that the Lord himself experienced transportation particularly in different occasions. First of all, in the temptations of Christ, after his 40-day fast, right, we are told that the devil tempted him. That is in Luke 4. We all know about the temptation of Christ, right? Verse 5 of Luke 4 says, and the devil taking him into an high mountain, and of course he showed him all the kingdom of this world and the glory of it. He shall be bow down and worship me, they shall all be thine. You all know that story, right? Now I said that. Now verse 9 says again, and the devil brought him, meaning Christ, to the Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast yourself down here. And there is quoted in scripture and some of that, you know. Now the question I want to ask is this. Now there are those two verses, verse 5 and verse 9, and the devil taking him up into an high mountain. Verse 9, and the devil brought Christ to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. Well, those two verses may look like maybe that the devil actually, the Lord was transported to those mountains or to the pinnacle of the temple, right? So the question is this: was he transported there, or was Christ in a vision when this thing happened? These are questions you can ask, right? He was on the mountain, we are told. The devil took him there, they said. Or he was on the pinnacle of the temple. Was it in a vision, or was it there physically? So, that is the question we have to ask. But we know this. It was not in a vision at all. It was a genuine case of physical transportation. For if the Lord were only on the pinnacle of the temple, and in the spirit, and something like that, you know, it will require no miracle for him to cast himself down to the earth. If he was there in the spirit only, or in a vision, right? There is no miracle about him casting himself down, right? So we know that to be really, really physical and so on. And we know that spirits don't get hurt, you see? If he was there in the pinnacle in the spirit, or the mountain in the spirit, there is no miracle to it. So there is no question of him falling down, because spirit cannot get hurt by falling. So he must be there physically, you know? So that is on that. Now, another question is this, you know. So, did the devil take him there? Was the Lord, so if he was transported to the top of the mountain and transported to the pinnacle of the temple, so Bible says the devil took him there. Was he transported there by the power of the devil? Is that right? Will Christ, the Christ of God, be transported by the power of the devil to the mountain? I don't think so. Praise the Lord. And the Bible answered his own self. The devil himself said that, that the power of God in verse 10, hear what the devil said. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee right. And verse 11, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou that so it is the angels of God, if anything, that bear the Lord Jesus up, not the power of the devil, as he takes my look right there, you know. So two things in there. It wasn't just in the vision, it was physical. Because the Bible says, as three don't get hurt. They don't fall and get hurt, right? That's in the physical, not just a vision. Number two, it wasn't the devil that supernaturally transported the Lord Jesus Christ to the mountaintop or to the pinnacle of the temple. So it was the angel that bear Christ up, not the devil's power and so on. So verse 11 says, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angel came and ministered. Yeah, verse 11, angel ministered to him, right? It was the angels of God, not the devil's power, that supernaturally transported the Lord to the mountain and to the pinnacle of the temple. So right there. So the Lord, as you can see from those scriptures, that he was physically transported. And another place, on the Sea of Galilee, the disciples have rowed all night. There was a storm. They were in a boat. He wasn't there with them. So they have rowed all night. There was a contrary wind, they were in great trouble and so on like that, all night long. The disciples have faced a contrary wind. And after a hard night of rowing, were still 25 to 30 furlongs in the sea before they got to the land. That's about 3 or 4 miles, right? Meaning that they were in the very midst of the sea. The winds and the waves had come so turbulent that the men were actually in jeopardy of their lives. Then suddenly, the disciples saw the Lord Jesus walking toward them on the water. And the Lord, the story of Peter, Lord, if he did it, bid me to come to thee. Peter was saying, Lord said, come on. And then Peter was walking on the water and things like that, But when he see the waves billowing and the wind and so on, then he begin to doubt and things like that, And of course, he begin to sink. And the Lord, he said, Lord, save me. And the Lord grabbed him and brought him to the ship and things like that. So what happened in there? So there occurred something very remarkable when they got to the boat. And the Bible said that the wind and the tempest suddenly ceased. When they all get into that boat with the Peter and things like that. Number two, the ship and its passengers, which had been in the midst of the sea, they were immediately at land. And that is in John 6:21. Then they willingly receive him into the ship. And immediately, the Bible says, the ship was at the land, whither they went. That's about 3 or 4 miles. Bible says about how many furlongs in there? 25 or 30 furlongs. That's about 3 or 4 miles. Bible says immediately Christ entered that boat with Peter. Bible says immediately the boat was on land. So all we can read from there is that the boat was supernaturally transported, everything, to land right there. Obviously, a case of supernatural transportation. Now, so I want to get to one or two more. Paul might have experienced supernatural transportation too. Talking about him in 2 Corinthians 12, and it could be, again, the Bible didn't tell us explicitly. So, there is a scripture that may mean that Paul experienced supernatural transportation. 2 Corinthians 12:2 says, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. Such and one caught up to the third heaven. See? Caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. Remember, verse 4 says, how that he was caught up into paradise and had unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. How he got there, we don't know. He said he didn't even know. But whatever happened there, so he was caught up to paradise. So for this text, Paul said he was not sure. So whether he was in the body or out of the body during that time that he went to paradise. He was very conscious when he was in paradise, as far as He could tell he had his physical body with him, although he said he was not satisfied. So maybe he could have experienced spiritual transformation to heaven, to paradise. So we see that one in India, you know. So anyway, so now, well, the one that most people know about physical or supernatural transportation is that of Philip, right? People know about that very well. The one I spoke before, they were implicitly put in the Bible right there. We can just infer from them, you know. And so both Elijah and even the Lord and so on, you know. But here is the one that people know most about and talk about, and I close with that. Now, so a remarkable miracle followed, one of the greatest revivals recorded in the book of Acts. In Acts 8, there was a deacon, was just made a deacon. In Acts 6, the Bible tells us that when the disciples multiplied, there was grudge among the people who is to serve table. Some others, this one we don't know. So anyway, Brother Peter said, you know what? Let us choose among you 12 men, I mean filled with the Holy Ghost, and take care of this this job. He said, for we, in Acts 6:4, we give ourselves unto prayer and to the ministry of the word. So Philip was one of them. Stephen was one of them. Men filled with the Holy Ghost. Anyway, so this deacon now, later on, called to go to Samaria to go and witness to them there. And that was one of the greatest revivers of the New Testament, maybe past of Pentecost in God there and some of that, you know. Great revival in India. So many people were converted. They had to now go to send for Brother Peter and Brother John in Jerusalem to come over to Samaria, that these people knew God but might receive the Holy Ghost. We know the story right there. From a deacon, whatever God gives you, do it diligently, amen. There's nothing small in God's work. So whatever He gives you, do it with all your might, amen. Don't even compare with anybody. You are an individual. So you are going to give account of yourself. Do only the thing God gives to you. Now, come and see this deacon now. So, they didn't complain, you know, that they were deacons to serve the tables, right? Even the qualification, you must be filled with the Holy Ghost, right? So anyway, down the road, we know that what happened to him. So now, God will call him out of that revival. That so big a revival, God now called him out of there to go to a desert, to go and witness to just one soul. See? He didn't disobey the Lord. You know, and how many evangelists, unless really listen to the Lord, right? You are having a big campaign and so on. God says, leave this idea and go somewhere else, right? Go and minister. Just one soul, right? Philip knew how to obey God. And of course, he went, you know. These are all in Acts 8, right? So the Ethiopian eunuch and so on, that, you know. As he was there, he joined himself to this chariot. He was coming from Jerusalem, right? I don't know. I think he has been in Jerusalem. He was hungry for God. I always love the story in India. He was hungry for God. Oh, Bible says, he that is hungry, they will surely be filled, right? Mm-hmm. In Jerusalem, he didn't get all he wanted of God, but he kept on hungry. He didn't give up, right? And here, God sent a whole evangelist to come and minister to him alone. You see? So anyway, the story went. So as Brother Philip got in there near him and so on, God has said to this shadow. And when he did, and the man was reading the Bible, reading Isaiah 53. Brother Philip said, understand thou what thou readest? The man was so humble. How can I accept somebody teach me? You know, he was so humble, wasn't he proud? How can I understand that somebody teach me? Bible says from that same verse where he was reading, Brother Philip took it from there and expanded unto him that this is about Jesus Christ and preached unto him Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. I think he covered everything that he knew about the Lord. Because down the road that same day, they came to a river, an oasis. And the man said, what now for me from being baptized? So Philip preached the old gospel to him, the same way he received it. On the day of Pentecost, I'm telling that, you know, what shall we now do? Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, you know. So he preached all those things to him. No wonder that Ethiopian did not say, what forbid for being baptized? Oh, Philip didn't just jump. Oh, no, baptize you. You can if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. That is the criteria. Praise the Lord. Don't just, you go into the water, dry, and come out wet. You don't believe on the Lord Jesus, right? Yes. Oh, he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. At that, no, let's go down the water, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. So, and there all, he baptized him, and things like that, you know. And of course, Bible says, in verse, let me see, in Acts 8:37, he said, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and so on, like that. You know? So, in verse 39 of Acts 8, and when they were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord, talking about supernatural transportation and the translation later, you know, and the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the Enoch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Interestingly, we should know this as well. Although Philip ministered to God once, so tradition had it, this man, Ethiopian eunuch, was over the household of the queen of Ethiopia. He had control of all the things that the queen of Ethiopia had, right? Tradition had that this man, on getting to Ethiopia, witnessed to the people of Christ. We don't know how many souls were saved. Well, can you imagine? You know, like, I don't know, actually, that came to over the household of the queen of Ethiopia now preaching the gospel over there. So he went to witness to one soul. But that one soul now went and preached to a whole nation. Amen?
Amen?
Can you now see where God put him out of there? Maybe even has more soul won by that one man than what he had in his own campaign. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let us listen to the Lord.
Yes.
He is the all-wise God. Amen?
Yeah.
Whatever I give you to do, do it with all your heart. You know, that's your portion. Amen? Praise the Lord. Every man should rejoice in his own portion. What he gives you to do. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So we see the wisdom of God right there, you know. So anyway, look at what you will enjoy. Now, later on we find in Acts 8:40 on his way back. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he come to Caesarea. From what they say, the two distance about 40 miles. 40 miles distance, and so on. So Philip was supernaturally transported from a distance of over 40 miles. And, a fourth type of the rapture of the saints. Only that's the difference between the transportation and the rapture. We know that, and some of that, you know. So can you see what he experienced now? So that even what the apostles had never even experienced before. Well, Peter walked on water, praise God. But here is the deacon, from deaconship, by obeying the Lord, you know, humbled himself, had a great meeting with him, and then look at what happened to him. Now experience physical transportation, supernatural transportation by the Spirit of the Lord. The Lord is good to obey the Lord, amen. Let us turn to the Lord in all our lives. Let's talk about the importance of the miracle of supernatural transportation. Now, so God doesn't do anything for his show. In fact, when the Lord did a miracle, Bible says he will convey himself away from there, amen. He doesn't do things to command the awe of the people or to do a miracle for a show. Praise the Lord. So we can see that even in this case of Philip, we can see that, remember that he joined the chariot, right? And they were traveling the chariot. How many miles they travel, we don't know. So if not for the spiritual transportation, how will Philip come back? He was on an errand for God, right? So God hid him, praise the Lord, by supernaturally transporting him. The disciples also, in John chapter 6, what happened to them? They have rode all night, right? And they were tired and weary. The Lord is always having compassion on his people and so on. So, I mean, they were so tired, so that's why he did all those things. So we believe, near the rapture, which is this day, you know, there will be much. We anticipate there will be much of this kind of supernatural transportation in the church elect. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Absolutely. We believe that. Before Elijah went to heaven, it happened before he went to heaven, right? And it was a type. And history does repeat itself. Amen. If it was a type of translation of the saints, then we can expect this day. And even in this church age, there have been reports of many of such physical and supernatural transportation, you know. So, but we can look for more as we near the coming of the Lord. So now, talking about supernatural transportation and translation. Now we're going to go to the second phase, the translation itself. Now, so we see. So and so anyway, now let's go to the translation of the thing, or what they call the rapture. The word rapture is not in the Bible, but we know translation is in the Bible. So, but they are all the same thing, really. You know, in 1 Corinthians 15:51, Bible tells us, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." See? And praise the Lord. So that's it. I just read right now. What does it tell us? It means that it reveals the glorious truth of the translation or rapture of the saints. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. What does that mean? It means that we have been told that there will be a generation of Christians, and I believe this generation, who will not see death at all, but as Enoch of old, was translated, they will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So we believe it's in this age you are living in. They will not pass through the gate of death, but they shall have their mortal bodies instantly changed into incorruptible, immortal bodies, like unto the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. In this age we are living in, this is the hope set before us. The scripture gives us a dramatic description of this rapture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 18. I want to read all of those verses. This is it. You take away all this thing from Christianity, then become a religion. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. All I'm reading this morning, take it away from Christianity, become a religion. But we thank God, Christianity is not a religion. Praise the Lord Jesus. It's God Almighty dwelling in His people. Now, 13. But I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also we sleep in Jesus, we God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Amen.
Wherefore comfort one another with this word. Amen.
Amen.
As our comfort, the word of the Lord. So Christianity, not a religion. Praise God. And the great difference between Christianity and religion is the promise of immortality. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
The bed that religions have to offer is just a matter of speculation, whether you call it Mohammedanism, you call them Buddha or whatever, and so on that, it's all speculation. When it comes to the hereafter, come to immortality, it's just a speculation. They have found that, whether I call it Buddha or Mohammed, they are in the grave and they are burned as if smoldering in smoke right there in their grave today. All they want to be is empty.
Yes.
The tomb of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is not here, he is risen.
Yes.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
So and so only in Christianity, other ones are just speculation about the hereafter. So now the supreme and unique feature of the Christian faith is that Christ overcame death. Amen. Without the revelation of immortality, that would have been the lot of humanity. But thank God for the revelation of immortality. Praise the Lord Jesus. He brought immortality unto life through the gospel. He did. Praise the Lord Jesus. Just to say that right there. So anyway, from the natural standpoint, of course, You know, so death is final. That's to the natural man, right? So, but to the spiritual man, who know the word of God, that's not so. How irreversible is death to the natural man, as far as man is concerned, but not with Christianity. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's different, you know. And we are admonished by the scripture that we sorrow not, like I just read right now, even as others who have no hope. But we have the assurance of seeing our loved ones again, amen? Amen. We shall live again, amen.
Amen.
The Christian has passed on, we live again. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So that no, so it's but God says, don't sorrow. If God says so, so be it, amen?
Amen.
Man shall live by every word. That's my consolation this last day, amen. Once we hear the word of God by 18, that is it for me, amen?
Amen.
Man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So we see right there. So and so according to God's word, two great events will occur simultaneously at the coming of Christ. I just read to you. First, there will be a resurrection of those who sleep in Christ. The other event will be the translation of the living. Just as Enoch and Elijah were translated and caught up to heaven, so with those who are accounted worthy, see that, the raptured and caught up to meet the Lord in the air. That's why the Lord taught us in Luke 21:36, watch ye therefore, as I close up this morning, and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Because the Lord knows not all professing Christians will be ready. That's why he gave us the warning. And as the Lord taught us in the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25, so the foolish virgins were not ready to meet the Lord or the bridegroom rather, you know. That is in Matthew 25. I don't go there. 1 to 13 verses and things like that, you know. So want us to be ready. Now, talking of Enoch, and in finishing of this morning, the translation of Enoch. We can learn something from there, you know, about his translation and so on. Even by considering how Enoch left this world, you know. According to the biblical record, how did Enoch leave this world? We were told in Genesis 5:23, so you see, this rapture, this translation of the thing, God has precedences, amen, praise God, at the mouth of two. God put them there to show all that he has done it before, he will do it again for his people at the end of time. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So it's not just something, you know, it has happened before. So Genesis 5:23, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, see, and it was not for God took him. We are given further information concerning Enoch in Hebrews 11:5. By faith, Enoch was translated. That's where we got the word translation from, right? Was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God has translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So from this rather very brief sketch, not much was spoken about Enoch, the true elect of end time. Not much will be known about them either by the word, amen. Praise the Lord. How much was known about Elijah? From this rather brief sketch, we learn that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, was a prophet who walked with God. And because he did, God translated him so that he should not see death. But before he was translated, the Bible says that he had this testimony that pleased God. This is an important thing to keep in mind in our own day. Only those in our day who will be ready for the rapture, they'll be those who please God. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. He said, when the Son of Man shall come, shall he find faith on earth? By faith, Enoch was translated. Faith and then pleasing God. Amen? Very, very important ingredient. And the Lord loves us. That's why he gave us all those clues. And so on. So we see right there. Translation of Elijah. As God took Enoch to heaven without tasting death, so it was with Elijah. For the second time in the history of the world, a mortal man left this world without dying. The chariots of fire and horses of fire appear And sweeping low, parted Elijah and Elisha under, as under, snatching Elijah away. 2 Kings 2:11. It came to pass, as the sea went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a shadow of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both as under. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Thus was the prophet taken up to heaven in a whirlwind. So these two, the experiences of these two men, this prophet, Enoch and Elijah, are previews of what will happen to the church at the moment of rapture, this day we are living in. The day and the hour, we don't know. All we know is that we are living in that season, you know. But I will tell us that the resurrection of the night, we are children of the day. And by the grace of God, as we keep our eyes open, spiritual eyes open, that day will not come upon us when we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, the rapture will be an event, brethren, as we read in the Bible, that will take place suddenly. Bible said in 2 Corinthians 15:52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So are you ready to go? Praise the Lord. Are you ready to go? I'm ready to go. Amen. As soon as he calls, come up either, amen. It can come any moment. Are you ready? So the Lord wants us to be ready, amen. Therefore, he gave us this admonition in Matthew 24:44. Therefore, be ye also ready. See? I want you to be ready. I want me to be ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. He loves you, he loves me. Let me close with this, you know, very admonition here. Because he loves you, because you are going to listen to his word, you are going to be ready, amen? So now, in Hebrews 13:20, so, now, the God of peace, that brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing. You see now, you can please God through that Holy Ghost, through that Christ himself dwelling in you, amen. Abide in him now. That is what abide in you. So well pleasing in sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. One more scripture and then I close here. Jude 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. All the church say,
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Having loved us, you love us to the end, Lord. What greater love as a man know that he should lay down his life for his friend. I call you no more servant. You are my friend. As much as you do the things I command you. Thank you, Lord God, for showing us, O Lord God, to the world, all these things are in parable, Lord. But to us, you have spoken unto us face to face and mouth to mouth. So we worship and we adore you, Lord. We glorify thy name, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for having chosen us in you before even the world began, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for your promise of soon coming. Right from John 14, you are told, if I go away, I will come again. I receive it to yourself, to myself, that where I am, there you will be also. Thank you for these promises, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the consolation and the comfort of the Christians who don't really die, they sleep, who are sleeping. Lord, we thank you for the promise of the translation in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, the day will come when we all go to be united together, never to part again eternally, and living and going with you whithersoever we go in Revelation 14. So we thank you this morning for looking at the great thing you have done for us now, Lord, and the greatest of all events to come, the rapture of the church. Help us, Lord, to make ourselves ready, Lord, as you have commanded us. I thank you for the comfort of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus, for the brethren who are sleeping in the name of Jesus. It shall be according to the word of the Lord. Lord God, they shall rise first. The way that our life and remain shall be crossed together with them in the clouds. to meet the Lord in the air. Bible says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. So Father, help us, Lord. Let us not put anything before you, Lord, in the name of the Lord. Let us count all things to be insignificant. When we think about the coming of the Lord, nothing in this world should hinder us. Count everything insignificant when it compares to the coming of the Lord. Help us to have this mindset, Lord. And the Bible puts it where the Lord says, seek ye always the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Help us not to let the cares of this life, O Lord God, take our minds away from that which is most important. This is what we do for us, Lord. We thank you. Commit the need to your hand, Lord. We go forth in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father God, supply our needs as is promised in the Bible, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Lord, the Bible says, the young lion, they suffer hunger. But they that trust the Lord shall not lack any good thing. So we are trusting you, Lord. Just by faith, in the name, you fed Elijah, you did everything for him, Lord. So you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. I commit every need represented here to your hand this morning, Lord. I'm trusting that you will supply all our needs according to your riches in glory. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, have no anxiety about anything. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known unto God. And let the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So we go believing this one that we receive comfort in the name of the Lord Jesus, assurance of supernatural supply in the name of the Lord Jesus, and Lord, that our joy may be full in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for hearing us. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
He's coming back again.